6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
People say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. Just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
Okay, guys, got Josh Terry here in Nashville.
What's up, Bubba?
How's it going, my man?
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. And it's a city you don't like, apparently, but we're here.
Yeah, Nashville's not my fave, dude. I actually like being from the country. I come up here just to work, get stuff done, and I head back to Georgia as quick as I can.
Yeah, I feel that way about cities. It's good for grinding and working, yeah. But for living and raising a family, it's not the best environment.
Yeah, I wouldn't live here. I'm a glutton for a good time.
Yeah.
And up here, you can have one at any moment, any time of the day. Mm. And I like to do nothing. I like the slow pace of where I'm from. If I was up here, I would never stop going.
Yeah.
One reason why you haven't seen me running around all day is I had too much fun last night, so I've been in bed all day.
How late were you out last night?
Too late, boss. Jeez. Too late, too late. That's why I'm struggling a little bit.
You have an addictive personality, you think?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I had to cut way back on my drinking last year. I was getting way too out of hand, and it's partly because of this job.
Yeah.
Partly being up here.
Do you drink on the show when you're filming your show?
I used to. So I used to think that's why everybody wanted to do it. Like the success of the show right off the bat, I thought that's what everybody wanted to do with me. Mm. And probably the first, if you were to listen to the first 100 to 200 episodes in there, the majority of them are a lot of alcohol. A lot of alcohol.
It's like the old Rogan days.
Yeah, and man, it's just you get to a point to where one of the things I tell a bunch of the artists that we work with is, do you want to be popular or do you want to have a legacy?
Mm.
And I want to have a legacy. Like, I want to leave something behind, and I want to be known for something more than just a good time. And I think for a while there, I got known as just a good time. And that's not who I want to be.
That's how I felt in high school and college. People are just using me for a good time.
Yeah, and that's just, I want to be who I am. And I don't want that to be based around alcohol or any substance. Mm. And I think that my identity got so connected to wild boy, party boy, whatever. And I just really got sick of it. Like, and I still, don't get me wrong, last night I had a great time, but it's not who I want to be 24/7. It's not who I, and also too, once I found out that people wanted to work with me outside of it, it's one of the biggest reliefs I've ever had.
Yeah.
And that's, I just love that now. Like, I don't have to do that anymore.
So were you craving attention, you think?
Oh, 100%. I'm a whore for attention. I am a whore for attention. I love it.
Do you think that stems from childhood trauma?
Probably. Probably. I definitely didn't get my ego fed enough as a kid.
Yeah.
Wasn't the best athlete. I wasn't bad. I wasn't the prettiest kid. Wasn't the prom king or nothing like that. So I imagine with everything I do now with social media, the podcast and all that kind of stuff, I definitely like attention.
Yeah.
But also too, I get my validation and my attention now like different ways. Like, and I don't really, I'm never the person to, like, even when we do like our shows, I don't like to be in the spotlight anymore. Mm. Like, I really don't. I like to put other people in the spotlight. Like, that's where I get my gratification now, is like when I can put somebody else out there, like, and help somebody else shine, like some of the artists and stuff that we work with. I don't know how, if you're like this, but there's something really special to me when you know that somebody has a great story or they have a talent and they're not getting the spotlight, and you get to help them get the spotlight and get the attention.
No, I feel the same way, man.
Oh, dude, there's something about that that just,
there's been a few guests that have come on my show, and then that leads to them getting on a huge show like Rogan or something. It's just like, damn, I just changed that guy's life.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's something about that. I don't mind being a stepping stone. Like, if I got a buddy of mine, and he would have 1,000% made it in country music, regardless, without a doubt. But I started bringing him up here, a guy named Cole Goodwin, about 2 years ago. And I played his first Riders Rounds and stuff with us. And like I said, somebody would have found him regardless. Like, it doesn't even matter. But the fact that he started coming up here with us, and it might have fast-tracked him a little bit. We introduced him to some folks. And then he got to play the Ryman 2 weeks ago with Zach Top.
Wow.
It's like, that's the coolest thing to me, that I was the first podcast that he did, some of the first songs that he ever released was on the podcast, and on our Writers Rounds, all that kind of stuff. And there's been some other folks, Riley Anderson, some other people. Guy that got second last year on American Idol, Will Mosley's first podcast stuff he did was with us.
That's incredible. So you're good at spotting talent early on.
I know what I like. And it seems like what I like, a lot of other people like. So I just try to surround myself with those types of people.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I think has made us kind of successful too, is I don't go off brand. I'm really picky about who I will work with. Mm. I don't just work with anybody anymore just because they have a social media following, just because you have a record deal. If I work with you, it's because I like you. I believe in you. I think that something that you are doing is going to help somebody, or you just have something that I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. I don't just look at your numbers anymore and be like, oh, this is going to be beneficial to me. I just don't like that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've had to turn down lucrative deals because I knew it would affect my mental health.
Yeah.
I knew it would be stressful.
Yeah, your mental health is the most important thing.
Yeah.
There was times that I've had guests on the show that I know that I got huge numbers for. Not your numbers, but
it's all relative.
In your space,
huge numbers could be
big numbers for me. But when I got done, I was kind of miserable after the episode, and it just was not. It was so unfulfilling. And then there's been times that I've had people on the show that have little to no following, but the stories that they would tell, the stuff that they would talk about, I knew that someone would hear those episodes and it would actually do something to help someone's life. And it's like, this is what I want to do. What I love. Like, this is why the good Lord has put me in this position to where I'm doing this.
Mm. No, I'm with you on that, man. And it seems like the smaller guys can just be themselves on podcasts.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you have a big following, you have to hold back.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, everybody's got PR. They've got a publicist. They've got somebody who's telling them what they can and can't say.
Yeah.
And I think that is the worst thing, to be honest with you, because whether it's you, whether it's me, whoever it is, people want to identify with you. And once they identify with you, you got a fan, a follower. I don't even really like those words, to be honest with you. I always say family.
Yeah.
You got somebody that they want a connection with you. The more authentic you can be, the more real you can be, the more you're going to have somebody that you have their attention forever because they see themselves in you. They want to hear the realness from you. Absolutely. They want to hear the raw from you.
That's and, why Theo Von crushes it.
Oh, Theo kills it. Theo is amazing.
He's just himself.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and also, too, I think it's just exhausting if you have to get up and you have to be somebody else every day.
No, it is, because I used to live that way. Yeah. I used to try to please everyone.
I tried, dude. I tried for the longest time, and it was mentally draining.
I got caught up with my own lies. I lost track of how many lies I was telling people about myself.
Dude, same. I have a buddy that used to tell me when I was younger, I'd rather climb a tree and tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth.
Mm. Wow.
But the older I get, the more I realize I hated my life. I was just so miserable. I would make up lies hoping that everybody else would believe my lies.
Yeah.
Because I just hated reality. I didn't like anything about me, and I wanted everybody else pretty much to believe my bullshit. And when nobody else believed it, no one else fed into it, I kind of eventually had to have a reality check. I finally had to come to Jesus meeting with myself.
Yeah.
And be like, you know what? You're good enough the way you are. Good Lord made you the way you are. Why are you fighting it? Mm. Why can't you just be you and be happy with being you? You're weird. One of the things that I absolutely love, weird and unique are almost the same definition.
Mm.
And I like that I'm that way. I don't think that you're weird. I think you're unique. I'm the only person from my hometown, my graduating class, whatever, that does what I do for a living. And I'm probably the dumbest one out of that class. But I get to do what I want to do for a living because I decided to gamble on myself at 30 years old. I'm 37 now. But I decided to gamble on myself and chase my dreams. To where there's other people that's in that class that have great degrees that are miserable because they never gambled on themselves.
Right.
And I guess when I got tired of living that lie and I started wanting to be me, I couldn't have made myself happier.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very aware of leaving this world with regrets is something I don't want.
Right.
So I constantly am thinking that every day. I'm like, am I going to regret this if I don't do it?
Yeah. Well, what's the worst thing that's going to happen if you try and fail? At least you tried.
Yeah.
I'd rather try and fail now.
100%.
Yeah.
I'd rather try it and at least know what the outcome was than never doing it at all.
Absolutely. I mean, those regrets is what eats you alive. I don't think failure is what eats you alive. I think regrets is what eats you alive.
No, I saw it with my dad, saw it with my grandfather.
Yeah.
They were living with regrets every day.
Yeah, I talked, I did this podcast with these two ladies. I can't remember the name of their show. They had me on a couple of weeks ago, Unapologetic Error. They had me on their show, and I was explaining to them that I think it's like the sins of our fathers, right? They didn't know any better. So I think for the longest time that they were taught, you get up, you go to work, you keep your head down, you get by. Mm. You just take care of your family. They were never taught how to live. They were just taught how to get by, how to take care of their family. And there's nothing wrong with taking care of your family. You should take care of your family. But I don't think our dads and our granddads were ever taught how to live life. And I'm living my life. I'm also taking care of my family, but I made the conscious decision to where you only get one go around. You have to do the things that make you happy. Mm. And I think that's the best thing you can pass on to your friends and to your children and to your loved ones is you really only get this isn't a dress rehearsal. This is the real deal. This is showtime. You got to be doing the things that make you happy now. Otherwise, what are you doing? You're literally wasting the one chance you have at happiness.
Yeah.
That's really what life is. You should be making yourself happy and the people that you love happy. I love simplifying everything because I'm a moron. Like the easier I can make everything in my life, the better. I want to make the people in my life smile, happy, succeed. I want everything to be successful. All I want to do is success to me isn't just me succeeding, it's everyone succeeding. I don't want to be standing at the mountaintop by myself. Mm. I want everyone that I love and care about to be there with me. And I just think that the best way to do that, and just the one big picture, is just happiness. I know that's just stupid sounding, but the more you make everybody happy and comfortable around you, the more everybody just feels comfortable chasing their dreams and doing what they're passionate about.
It's infectious.
Yeah.
And it, other way around too. If you're upset, that spreads too to other people.
Oh yeah. Misery is just a disease.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. Trust me, I grew up with that mess.
Same.
I promise you, my mom was a basket case growing up. She's a little bit better now. But yeah, dude, that's probably where I didn't know. I don't think until my 30s I knew what happiness was. I know. Wow. my daughter, I had her when I was 24, and she's the best thing that's ever happened to me. But besides for that aspect of my life, my child, I don't think I knew what it was like to be happy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Years.
Well, yeah. Well, I knew what it was like to get by on temporary happiness.
Yeah.
But like joy, getting up every day, not being stressed. Everybody's got a little bit of stress. Like, everybody be worried about something. But just getting up and just, you don't have the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Having a purpose.
Yeah. Like, having something that you actually love doing.
Well, there's a lot of guys lacking purpose right now.
Yeah.
Like, I see it daily.
Yeah.
And well, there's a lot of misdirection on social media, I think, chasing materialism and stuff and chasing women.
Well, I think that I shouldn't say everybody. I think people identify success with materialistic things,
right? Easily. In America, yeah.
Yeah. But for me, like this literally happened last year. The woman I'm dating now, we've been off and on for like 2 years. But we had a bad breakup last year because I went off the deep end for a little while.
You did?
Oh, dude, I was just drinking too much.
Damn.
I wasn't in a good place. Like, I was letting the success of the show in Nashville and everything kind of go to me. And I just wasn't taking care of my body. I just was too many late nights, having too much fun. It was just too much. And then she left me for a little while, and she had every right to. I just was not being a good man. And when she was gone, I realized like the thing that I was chasing for success at the time was money. Mm-hmm. Right? And I realized when she was gone, like my success was gone. Like, and now that we're back and we're very happy and everything's really good, I realized that my success was happiness. And I don't think a lot of people realize, like, success isn't money. Success is what actually brings you happiness. Mm. And guys, especially men, like, you don't have to have money to be successful. You can have a great family, you can have great friends, and be successful. Mm. And I just wish people would really sit down and look and figure out what actually is their definition of success. When I defined my definition of success, it made me put my priorities in order. And when my priorities got put in order, life just really simplified itself.
Yeah. For me, wealth is part of success. I know everyone has different definitions, but it's not the main thing.
Yeah.
But I do think having some wealth helps you become successful.
Now, I'd be a lying sack of shit if I said I didn't want to be wealthy. Trust me, I want money. But it's not the top tier. It's not the number one thing. I want it, but at the same time, it's like, can you be happy without it? And now I know I can.
Mm.
Like, but also, I grew up poor.
Yeah.
Like, we grew up poor. And that was another thing I had to get in my head. It's something I have to tell myself all the time. Like, even when brand deals and stuff approach me, or people want to be sponsors and stuff on the podcast, it's like, I have to know my value, right? And I don't have to sell myself short. If I spent 18 years of my life poor, right, as a kid, a couple more years until I get what I deserve is okay.
Yeah.
If I mean, I'm not eating mayonnaise sandwiches no more. Don't get me wrong. But if I have to settle, then I'm selling myself short. I don't have to do that anymore. But I also don't have to be treated like a doormat. I don't have to let people take advantage of me.
Yeah.
It's either you're going to pay me what I'm worth now, or I don't have to work with you. I don't have to do it. And that's freeing to know your own value and know your own worth.
Absolutely. That's important as a content creator, because you're going to get all sorts of offers and you can't take them all.
Yeah. And also with me, and I'm sure you're the same way, I think when I first started getting some popularity on social media, I think that I took everything right off the bat, like I would get. And now it's like, I don't want to work with this company.
Yeah.
So I don't have to. I try to stay on brand is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I know the companies I want to work with, and if it just doesn't fit me, I don't have to do it. And I wish more people would do that. Like, you don't have to take it. And I wish I would have known that back then.
Yeah. Well, I was doing it out of necessity. The first year we were losing a ton of money. So I was like, I need to gain some back. But yeah, now I'm at the point where I'm not accepting everything.
Yeah. Well, so you probably don't have to. You can probably do whatever the hell you want now.
I'm trying, man. I'm just trying to interview.
You're killing
people.
It, dude.
Yeah. Did you know how poor you were growing up, or was it
So the rest of my family's wealthy. My mom and dad are not. Mm. They did stuff their own way. There's a lake where we're from. It's called Trips Beach.
Yeah.
And all my family lives at this lake. It's a very nice place. And my mom and dad didn't want to live there. They didn't want to live under the rest of the family. We would go to school, and the rest of the family would have on, let's just say, Old Navy. I mean, I know that's not like an expensive brand or whatever, but they'd have on Old Navy. We'd have on Walmart. Like, it would just be like little things. Mm. And like, when I say poor, it's not like we were living off government assistance or whatever, but we didn't have certain things that our friends had. Like, they're until we got to like high school, and my dad's business blew up a little bit, but then there was some drug addiction that came along, and then we lost everything again. Damn. Yeah. So it was a lot. It was a lot. A lot of domestic violence and shit like that.
Shit.
Yeah. Well, it was on both sides. I've seen. I'm a little fucked up. But also too, I'm a firm believer in. Man, God will let you go through hell so you know what heaven's worth. So like, I'm the person I am today because of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like people that play victim. I had to go through that shit. Like, I had to see stuff as a kid that you're not supposed to see. But it makes it to where when I'm talking to people and like when I'm dealing with stuff like that, it almost like it might be chinks in your armor, but it's also might be another piece of your armor.
Yeah.
Like it makes you stronger. It makes you a better person. It makes you better equipped for the battle. And like, I'm kind of grateful for some of that stuff. Mm. Like, I even, like, when I was in my, from, like, 18 to 21, I was a shithead. Like, I got in trouble with law. I did 60 days in a boot camp one time and 90 days in a boot camp another.
Damn.
But, dude, I'm telling you, like, I'm doing a show with a big country artist next week. Mm. And they done hard time. And I know that that's how we'll connect next week. And I will end up building a relationship, I believe, because I know that's how we'll connect, right? If I wouldn't have gone through those experiences and I wouldn't have had that connection or done that stuff, I wouldn't be able to build that connection with this guy.
Right.
And it's like, I could look back at that and I could be like, damn, am I a victim? Am I just a moron? Or could I take the negative in that and turn it into a positive?
And that's the key right there, because everyone goes through negative things, but a lot of people victimize it, right? I'd say 80% probably.
Yeah. And I love cliches. I love this. Like I said, I love simplifying everything, right? But I love that it's already happened to you, now let it happen for you.
Mm.
And that's what I try to do. Like, all the bad stuff, man. Like, all the bad shit that's ever happened to me. But it's all the bad stuff that's ever happened to you.
Mm.
It's all the bad stuff that's ever happened to anybody. It's already happened. Like, Do something about it. Like, don't let it be. It can be fuel in your tank. It can be what literally drives your car, or it can be the thing that cripples your car.
Absolutely.
Which one's it going to be?
Absolutely. Yes, you had to grow up quick then.
Yeah.
And you worked for your dad for a bit.
Yeah, I was probably 30 years old by the time I was 18. Like 100%. I was having to be the DD at 15.
Damn.
Yeah, dude. Like there's been several times that I've had to.
For your own parents, you had a DD?
Yeah, for my dad. So my dad owned a drywall company, and the town that was blowing up real big. It's called Warner Robins, Georgia. It's about an hour away from where we lived. And his subdivision and all that and everything, the subdivisions up there that were blowing up, we would go, and that's where they would work at.
Yeah.
And he would drink after work. And if I was there working with him, he'd go to the bars and everything. And I'd have to sit outside the bars in the truck, or I'd get to go in the bars or whatever and hang out. And, I'd have to drive home afterwards.
That's crazy. Yeah. Your own father.
Yeah.
Seeing him just blackout drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, too, it's like I was telling you earlier, it's what's normalized. That was normalized to him growing up. I don't knock him for it anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't know no better. His dad did it to him. It's whatever. See, I used to be so pissed off at him about it. So mad. I was like, how could you ever? Mm. How could you ever do this to your kid, right? But if he didn't know any better, he never saw the wrong in it. And that's with anything. If you literally did not know that it was wrong, how did you ever know it was wrong?
Right.
He didn't know no better. His dad never told him that shit was wrong because he was doing it to him. Mm. So he just thought it was another thing. And then when I turned 18, my dad was buying us beer, me and all my friends, because he thought that's what you did.
Yeah.
And so... But also, this is what's great about it, though, is if you believe in growth and you have kind of the mindset that I have, and I hope a lot of people do, is I took what he did wrong and I applied it to my child to where I know now not to do. And I just knew that if it wasn't for him making those mistakes, I couldn't correct them. Mm. And that's, once again, it's not playing the victim, though. Like, I'm glad he did it now. To where, a couple years ago, I didn't have that mentality. But he had to make those mistakes for me to correct them.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah. Did you ever have a conversation with him about this?
Yeah, we talked about it. We talked about it.
Was he apprehensive?
Oh, yeah. He don't think he's... Yeah. No, it's not. We would be a very good family to go to therapy if they'd ever go to therapy, but that's never happened. Yeah, dude, it's but once again, like I've done my work, and I'm gonna keep doing my work with everything like that,
yeah,
for my mental health. But I've forgiven, and I've done what I've had to do. They probably won't. Because, like I said, they don't think they've done anything wrong.
Wow.
But it is what it is, man.
If people aren't ready to change, there's nothing you could say.
No.
You could provide facts, and they won't care.
Absolutely not. But that's not my battle. I'm not, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm not their judge, their jury, or their executioner.
Hmm.
You know, I got to answer for my sins. I got to answer for the things that I've done wrong. I don't get to get up to pearly gates and tell on anybody else.
Right.
That's me. That's me and God. Mm. So if that's their battle, if they don't want to go down that road, they're not going to go down that road.
Makes sense. It's going to make you a better parent in the long run.
Oh, I know. Well, that's one thing, too. I'm a great dad. I might be a piece of shit in every other aspect of my life, but I have a great relationship with my daughter. She is my best friend. She's 13.
Nice.
And we are super close. We do everything together. And if it took, like I said, all my trauma and all my bullshit that I had to go through as a kid to make it to where I have the relationship with my child that I have, I'll do it again.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just some things have to happen.
Yeah.
And it took me forever to have that mindset, though. And it's also... The best, once you get that mindset, it changes your entire life.
Absolutely.
It does. Like, it made me so much better of a person and healthier.
Yeah.
And like, it just fixed me.
I can relate.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
I had that victim mindset probably until I was early 20s.
Yeah.
I used to blame my parents for everything, literally everything. If we got an argument, it was their fault. I was never wrong. But I had to realize I had to take some accountability. You know, once I went off on my own, I'm like, they were just doing what they knew.
Yeah.
How can I blame them for that?
Yeah, accountability is huge. And I don't think I realized that till even recently, till like last year. I did a psilocybin trip, a macro dose. I had microdosed for a while.
I'm a big microdose fan.
Yeah. Somebody talked me into it, and then I heard Rogan and everybody talking about it for the longest time, and I was like, okay.
So you did an eighth?
Yeah, and then I did a macro. So I did, like, a full-on trip.
Holy crap.
And I was scared at first, but, like, I was going through, like, a lot of stuff at the time. And when I did that, when I did the whole-on trip, it killed my ego. It changed my life.
Ego,
like,
death, they call it.
Yeah, dude. It did something, man. It really did change everything that I was holding on to. It changed everything. Mm. Like, it killed it all. And it helped. I don't even think I'll have to ever microdose again.
Wow.
Yeah, like, it my anxiety used to be so bad with everything. Mm. And, like, I don't even, like, trip out about nothing hardly anymore. I used to have such a bad, like, trigger to where, like, if you pissed me off, like, I'm not a fighter. Like, I don't like fighting. Yeah. But I'm real quick to give you my opinion, and not always in the healthiest way. But I don't even do that hardly anymore. Like, it's so counterproductive, like, and it's just a waste of time. I can sit here and tell you go to hell, and that's just going to start a conversation that I don't want to have, or I can just walk away.
Yeah,
like, I just don't have to do things. Like, and that was one of the things that taught me was, why are you wasting your time? Like, if you're not, one of the sayings that I've learned recently is, if I'm not going to ask you for your opinion on something, if I don't value your opinion on something, then why do I care what you think about me? Mm. Like, why do I shouldn't care. If you're going to talk trash or you're going to say something negatively towards me or whatever, then it just shouldn't matter what you say about me if I don't care about anything that you say or do to me.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't matter.
You need that mindset on social media.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of hate.
Well, I don't read comments anymore.
Oh, you don't read them?
I refuse to. I refuse to. I just... You don't never, once again, you just don't know what that person's going through in the first place, what could have set them off. They could be having the worst day of all time, and it could be a flinch reaction to why they're saying something in the first place. Or it could be a troll. It could be a kid. It could be somebody just talking out their ass, like for no reason. Mm-hmm. It could just be something stupid. Or it could just be somebody who just filled with hate. And I'm not giving anybody that's just a hateful person, a racist, or a bigot, or whatever, a homophobe, or something like that. I'm just not giving you any of my time.
Yeah,
I refuse to. Like, I cannot stand those people. If you're a hateful person, I have nothing for you. We have a lot of different walks of life on my show, from different communities, and I love all walks of life. I always say that I love everybody equally, and I hate everybody equally. Mm. I don't care what your background is, what race you are, who you love. I don't care. It's how you treat me is how I'm going to treat you.
Yeah.
I've got people where I'm from that look exactly like me that I can't stand. That I hate white trash probably the most of all people, because that's what I grew up with, that I think are the worst people of all time. And they're the ones that have been the meanest to me. So if that people like me have been the meanest to me, I have no reason to dislike them more than anybody else, right? So I just refuse to read comments or even give anybody a minute of my time.
Yeah.
There's just no sense in it. It's just stupid.
Did it used to trigger your anxiety?
Yeah, because I could have 100 great comments and there'd be one negative one, and yeah, that's the one I'd focus on. And yeah, I'd just be like, why am I even buying into this shit?
Yeah, it's funny how human nature does that. I've heard that from many people, yeah, where it'll be that one comment out of 1,000, and it ruins their day.
Does it do it to you?
No, but I had to grow thick skin.
Yeah,
it definitely used to, but now I'm getting so many comments that I know it's just a numbers game,
yeah,
so I'm going to get hate no matter what.
Yeah.
I could save 100 lives. Like, Mr. Beast is out here saving people's blindness.
Yeah.
And he'll still get hate on that video.
Yeah. You just can't fix misery, dude. Like,
no.
Even if it is a legit real person, they have to be the worst. They're having the worst life. Mm. I think life's already, instead of commenting back, I just like to think life's already won and took care of it for me. If they're that miserable that they're going out of their way to comment on one of my videos,
yeah,
or on something, that they're that bad off, oh, God, their life sucks.
Yeah, I never comment back. It's not worth it. Yeah.
I used to like in the early days of TikTok or something, like, I'd clap back. I'd make you, but also too, I would only do it to idiotic white males.
Mm.
I really would, like, nobody else. But that's usually the only ones that would say anything anyway. We had a show one time, way back in the day, and I think it was during the last election, and I had a guy from my hometown who's he's marrying someone who's transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is he's well known where we're from, and he likes to argue with everyone on social media, right? And it's one of my favorite shows
because
he's just a different walk of life. Now, me and him don't agree on anything really politically or whatever, right? But he's well versed. He's very smart. He's super and like very intelligent guy. And I'm big on why. If I ask you a question and you respond with because I said so or something like that, like you don't have the facts or whatever to back it up, I kind of lose respect for you.
Mm.
But if I ask you a question and you can tell me why you believe in something, regardless if I agree with you or not, I can respect your opinion there.
Agreed.
Yeah, like, yeah. I can 100% respect, because then at least you know why you believe in it.
Yeah, if you're just backing it with emotion,
yeah,
I can't respect that.
Yeah, I have nothing.
That's herd mentality.
Yeah, that's stupid to me. And there were a lot of very negative comments that I had this guy on the show. And there was a lot of, and it was stupid dudes that look just like me. And I was like, if you would listen to this episode, this guy is just he's living a happy life. Mm. Why do you care who he's marrying? Why does it matter?
Yeah,
to
how
you?
Does it affect you?
Yeah. Like, people can't stand uncomfortable. Mm. I love uncomfortable. Growth comes from uncomfortable. You don't learn uncomfortable. The more places you put me to where I'm uncomfortable, that means I have no knowledge of my surroundings. I don't know what is going on. That means I have to intake something. That's the only way you get growth.
Yeah.
It's the only way you get knowledge. And people, just unfortunately, a lot of folks, uncomfortable just makes them shut down to where once you accept that uncomfortable is okay, I just love that. But some people, they're just, it freaks them out, dude.
Uncomfortable for me is where the most growth happens, to be honest, when I'm uncomfortable with something.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you can find answers that you're not exposed to.
Yeah.
Because we all live in our own bubbles.
Yeah. I'm tired of living in a bubble, dude. I want to be in the weirdest places. Like, it's, you know, if all you ever did was eat cheeseburgers, like, you would not know how great sushi was. Mm. Like, sushi's my favorite thing in the world. Now, I didn't start eating until like 4 years ago.
Damn.
All I would eat was the most basic ass food. And if you applied that, just something that simple, to everything else in your life, like, you don't know what all you're missing. You don't know what great people you're not connected with. You don't know what great music you're not listening to. You don't know. You don't know what places you haven't been to yet that are beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah, you just don't know what great conversations you're not having. Just because you don't know what's out there. Like, don't be scared of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you said you said a few times you don't think you're smart. Was that because of school, your grades?
I'm dyslexic, for one. I hate reading. I say not smart. Some stuff just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'm not good with numbers or anything like that either. I think there's different types of smart.
Agreed.
Yeah, like, I'm street smart now. Like, I'm a hustler.
I'd argue street smart is more important than book smart.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a place for it. I could never be a doctor or anything, but I could be a politician.
Yeah,
you're
good at talking. You don't have to.
I could run some shit. Smart. So, like I said, it's different ones.
Yeah,
yeah. Street smart.
Yeah,
definitely.
I used to tie my identity to my grades.
Yeah,
and I based that off intelligence levels.
Yeah, I know a lot of smart people that are really stupid.
With grades?
Yeah.
Yeah, same. In fact, most of my friends either dropped out or got terrible grades, but they're making millions. They're having a great life.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy to me. Like, where we're from, we have regular college and we have tech school. And most people that went to tech school are making way more money than the people that went to college.
Oh, I bet.
And it's like, but they're actually like aircraft mechanics, sheet metal workers, and all that kind of stuff. And when growing up, though, if you went to tech school, it meant you were stupid.
I remember that.
And now
there was a lot of shame where I grew up if we went to the tech school.
Yeah, and now it's like, you guys are dumbasses because they're the ones with the nice houses, the nice trucks.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's because my generation doesn't want to do physical labor jobs.
I don't want to do physical labor. If I had to do man shit now, it would be the worst.
You've got a taste of this life.
Oh,
so.
Dude, I haven't had to do physical labor in like 7 years now.
You got to do it with your father for years. So.
Oh, dude. Well, from the time I was 15 to like 28 or 29.
Jeez.
Yeah. Even before that, though, like, we was always like, we come from a farming community. So, like, even before that, like, going out to my uncle's farm and stuff, like, even as a kid, like, working out there, like, I've always done it. I just, my dream growing up was to work in radio. Like, ever since I watched Private Parts, the Howard Stern movie.
Yeah.
Like,
I got to watch that one.
Oh, dude, you never seen it?
No.
Oh,
but Howard Stern's the GOAT.
Oh, dude. Ever since I saw that as a kid, I knew I wanted to do it. Like, but where we're from, oh, you were a crazy person if you even said that.
Mm.
A crazy person. But I knew I always wanted to work in radio. And then when social media started taking off for me, a guy who was on Dave Stone, love you, Dave. He was on it was Axemen. I think it's Axemen. Swamp Loggers. That's what it was on History Channel. He had a radio show in South Georgia, and he was following me on social media and asked me if I wanted to come do some shows with him. Mm-hmm. I went down there, and then about a week or two later, like three or four different radio stations in Georgia reached out to me. Wow. And we're like, we'd love to have you come do it. And then I ended up working for one and then getting an award. About a year later, had the number one radio show in the state of Georgia.
Wow. That's impressive, man. Hats off to you.
Thank you.
Right time, right place, because now radio's taking a hit, right?
Oh, it's done.
Like, you think it's done?
Well, this is what I even pitched them then when they hired me. Is like, terrestrial radio's dead because of our phones. Like, it's over with.
Yeah.
But like, a shock, there's still value in a shock jock. Like, there's still value. And when I say shock jock, if you're putting out something that nobody else is. So, like, every single radio station in the country gets a prep sheet every morning that are almost identical. You just have to put out a different content. You're a content creator. You do your own content.
Yeah.
So what I pitched them is, hey, let me do my own content. And I did. And so people tuned in because it wasn't like every other radio
station.
That's
what Howard Stern did, too.
Yeah.
He had on the craziest guests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was
unique.
Insane. I'm glad he mellowed out a little bit there towards the end.
He's still going at it, right? He's still got a show?
Yeah, he's got a show. I haven't listened to it in forever. But, they just put out a documentary about him. I just watched it not long ago. He's a character, dude. Like, there was something about him. He made it being himself. And that's what I love anybody that does that, that to where you are just – you get acknowledgement for being you.
Mm.
And he is the king of that to me. Rogan's the king of that.
Yeah.
Theo. Anybody that does that to where they're just authentically themselves, they don't have to play a character. There's something that I absolutely love. That's why, like, even my show or anything I do on social media, I'm just me. I don't try to play a character. I just want to be known for being me.
Well, authenticity is winning these days. That's why Trump won the election, to be honest. He was just himself.
I think everybody was just tired of bullshit.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm an independent anyway. I don't like the two-party system. I think that regardless of who you like and who you don't when it comes to politics, I think you're supposed to vote for who is best for your household.
Yeah.
And who's best for your community. In this last election, Trump was what was best for my household, and I'm not the biggest Trump guy. Like, I think that he's best for our country out of the other option.
Yeah.
But also, I wish he shut up a little bit. Like,
he's definitely mellowed out since 16, though. You got to say that.
Yeah. But also, my biggest flaw with him from the last time he was president was if he would have just shut up, we would have been okay. Like, what I do love about him is he brought on RFK. He's brought on all these other people. He's turned some big Democrats into Republicans now.
Elon Musk.
Like, that's what we needed. Like, he's bringing everybody together. Like, regardless of what anybody else says, like, no one's done that before. Like, there's unity where there was division.
Yeah.
And, like, I love that. And the fact that even, like, and I'm obviously a big Rogan guy anyway. But the fact that even as skeptical as Rogan is about people, the fact that he's kind of like cheering for him now too. Yeah. Like, there's obviously something there. I don't know. He's starting to win me over a little bit more every day.
Yeah. We'll see how his term goes. It's been a pretty crazy start, right?
It's been weird.
A lot of stuff happening.
Yeah. There's nothing I really don't agree with yet. It's kind of the ICE stuff so far with some people getting deported. Some of it's a little much, but also too, if you get murderers and rapists and all these gang members out of here, I'm so cool with that shit.
Yeah.
If there's one or two casualties of it, it's casualties of war, dude. Like, I hate that some stuff gets umbrellaed, and when you can't help some shit.
Yeah, if you think long-term, one or two casualties versus if they keep importing all these drugs, how many people are going to die from that?
Yeah, not enough people think about that shit. in Georgia, we had, I think her name was Riley, and I'm so sorry to the family if I mess that up, but we had a girl get killed on a campus.
Damn.
From an illegal gang member that was selling drugs and all this other stuff, raped and killed a girl. And if, I would guarantee if you ask that family if they're okay with somebody getting deported or whatever that maybe shouldn't, or some kid having to go back due to safety, like if they, I think everybody's okay with it.
Yeah.
They would much rather it be safer and there be a casualty. It's just going to happen.
Like, yeah.
I don't see how anybody can even bitch about it. I don't see how anybody can even fuss about it.
Hate him or love him, he is sticking to a lot of his promises. He just released the JFK files yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Of course he did, when I'm not, where I can sit and read it.
10,000 pages, you're not going to be able to read it.
Oh, God, dude.
What I'm doing is I'm going on Twitter and just reading the summaries, because there's no time for 10,000 pages.
What do you think actually happened?
It's looking like a group of people. It's looking like the mob. It's looking like CIA and maybe another group.
Did you ever watch the movie that Kevin Costner did? The JFK movie?
No, that was the first one, right?
Yeah, it's like back in the 90s.
I heard about that one.
You need to watch it.
You like that one?
Oh, it's so good. I am a conspiracy theory nut anyway.
So am I. We're going to have to end off with some of these then.
Dude, I'm big into that one. I think 100% they took it. Well, you know, like he was the first one who wanted like to end the cabal. He's the first person to ever mention like the world cabal and all this other kind of stuff and everything. I think CIA took him out. There's so many things that it's so weird how everything played out with that.
And everyone that was involved got killed.
Yeah. Like there's nobody
left. It
seemed
like, yeah, I think CIA was involved for
100%.
Sure.
And the mob being connected. The mob's always been connected with CIA, though.
Yeah.
Always. So it would just make 100%, or it would make so much sense if
they could just put the blame on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
What other conspiracies are you into?
Oh, aliens?
You believe in aliens? I feel like that's not even a conspiracy anymore.
I know. Let's see. I don't think it is at all. I also think that aliens, though, I think they're, this is where I'll go off the deep end a little bit. I think that aliens.
Reptilians?
Yeah, no, not reptilians. I think whenever we say aliens, though, I think they're us. I just think they're like us, either from past or future.
Okay.
So like how they say that every 12,000 years, whatever it is, there's like a cataclysm or whatever. I think that probably what has happened is that we were more advanced at one point in time, because like pyramids are pretty much proof that that is the case, that there was more advanced, because there's no way that shit got built by.
You can't even build it right now.
No, you can't. So I think that probably what happened is they knew that something was coming, world was fixing to end. They took off, and they come back every now and then. Really, my thinking is if you knew that the world was about to end, especially if it was like man-made, like nuclear war, whatever, you would take off. Like if you were smart enough to where you could get away, you would take off. And now you come back every once in a while just to see how things was going.
Yeah.
And if it's coming back now and you're like, oh, these morons are building the same stuff that got us blew up in the first place, yeah, you might do a drive-by. You're not stopping. You're not hanging out. I don't see why you don't stay. You know, if it's just aliens, if it's just whatever, I think there'll be more of them hanging around. It's just weird that they don't stay.
So you think they're us from the future?
Yeah,
us? I can see that.
I think.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah, that would make most sense. Otherwise, it's like if you're that advanced, you could just kill us all and just take over everything. Why not?
Yeah.
Like, why are you just doing drive-bys?
Absolutely. What about time travel? You believe in that one?
Kind of. I kind of went down the loophole with QAnon.
Yeah. I had that guy on the pod, the one with the horns.
Oh, did you?
The J6er, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I got banned on TikTok for that one.
Really?
Yeah.
I had to listen to that one.
He knows too much.
Really?
I mean, think about it. The QAnon, they hacked into everything. They know a lot of stuff.
Oh, dude. I'm going to listen to that one.
Yeah. Well, it got taken down, but I'll send you the raw.
Send it to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, some of that stuff with the, what is it, the Baron Trump, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's some weird stuff. I think time travel, what was it, Einstein that said that it was possible anyway?
Someone really smart, yeah. And then Trump's uncle had Nikola Tesla's documents.
Yeah.
What are the odds of that, all right?
Yeah, there's some weird stuff, dude.
Now they're billionaires.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't that make sense? Like, I know me, if I could time travel, what would be the first thing I'd do? I'd make sure that my grandparents had money. That way I had money. Like, yeah. It makes the most sense. I want to be the richest person ever. So I'd tell you what land to buy, how to do it, and everything. Yeah. Then I'd come back and live my life now, just richer.
Get some Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. I still don't understand Bitcoin. I don't understand any of that shit.
There's no understanding to it. It's just all speculative.
Yeah, I've had so many people try to get me to invest or buy some of that stuff. And it's like, man, I have no idea.
I think you're too late now. Yeah. I mean, who knows? I might look dumb in 10 years.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of it?
Yeah. You know, but I got in early. So
did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know nothing about any of it.
Yeah.
What's some of the conspiracy theories that you like?
Government. Well, I don't want to get this video deleted. 9/11 is a crazy rabbit hole.
Oh, dude, 100%.
Yeah, that inside was job. Super fishy.
Yeah.
The way it went down.
One of the things I got in trouble for when I worked in radio,
yeah,
I talked about it for like a good 30 minutes one day. And let me tell you, you don't do that.
not in radio.
Oh, man.
You'll lose sponsor.
Well, we're so close to Robbins Air Force Base where we're from. And, dude, we got so many calls. And that was about the time I got fired. I got fired for some stupid shit.
What'd they tell you the reason was?
There was like three reasons. Okay. I don't support the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
And that's a very taboo thing where I live. Cause a lot of people still wave or
really?
Still have it.
I didn't know that.
Dude, it's everywhere.
Damn.
But my thing is I have a bunch of friends that are not of my skin tone, and I know what it means to them. It doesn't mean a damn thing to me. My dad's got a Confederate flag tattoo, or he did. He got it covered up. But it don't mean a damn thing to me. It's not heritage to me. It don't mean hate to me. It literally, I don't give a shit about it. It doesn't mean anything to me. But I've seen where hate groups have adopted it. And to me, once a hate group adopts something, it doesn't, it's always a hate group, but it's always attached to hate. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the same thing with like a swastika, right? Like a swastika was a symbol of peace before the Nazis adopted it, but nobody gives a shit about it being a symbol of peace before that. It's this hate symbol now, right? And I made that argument on radio one day when we were talking about it, when NASCAR banned the Confederate flag, like in 2020. You couldn't fly it no more at their races. And Sons of the Confederacy, which is a group in Georgia, and it might be everywhere, but I know it's in Georgia, they called in death threats.
Damn.
To the radio station. And I got in trouble for that. They said I was riling people up. And but what was really cool about it, though, and what made it worth it, there was a woman. She was in her 80s, I think. She told me how old she was. I can't remember. But she had told me, she called in, and she said, "I've never thought about it the way you just said it." She said, "I've always thought it was heritage, and I've never seen how anybody could think it was hateful." Mm. I've never understood that till right now.
Wow.
And it's like, this woman's lived 80 years and never had it explained to her why people see it as hateful, like how they could. And me explaining it to her and comparing it to where the swastika and everything, like, it changed her mind. And that's just one person. So like in radio, you call them like P1 callers. If for every one that actually calls in, there's probably another 100 that would like to.
Wow.
And they just don't. So for her to actually call and say something, and that was cool to me.
That is cool.
So it's like, you know, those guys that called and did death threats, it was worth it. And then there was some other stuff that I said that there was a comment about I don't care who you love. I don't care. I'm all about what you do behind closed doors, what you do. I don't give a shit. It does not bother me. And there was somebody, I made that comment on radio, and somebody called in and said, "Well, what if your daughter turns out to be a lesbian?" And I was like, "That's cool with me." I was like, we can go to softball games and look at softball players' asses together. Like, just playing, like, just joking around. And this woman got irate with me.
Damn.
And, like, just pissed off. And I said, look, I'm going to love my daughter regardless. I don't care. I was like, why are you worked up about it? I was like, it is my job as a parent to love my child. It doesn't put stipulations on it. Like, I don't care. I'm supposed to love her unconditionally. And in the Bible, it says you're supposed to love thy neighbor. Mm. It doesn't say love thy neighbor if they're straight. It doesn't say love thy neighbor if they're gay. It says love thy neighbor.
Yeah.
And you are picking and choosing what you want to believe in.
Absolutely.
I'm just loving my neighbor. So that one's on you, bud, not me.
Bars. Josh, we'll have to do a part two of just conspiracies. But
hey, dude, whenever you want to.
Yeah, until then, where can people find you, man?
JLTerry87 on Instagram. That's the best one in the Josh Terry podcast.
Awesome. We'll link below. Thanks for watching, guys. See you next time.
Thanks, man.
Yep.
Boom.
That was good, dude.
Yeah, that was awesome.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.